Consistency. Consistency? What does that mean to you? Does anybody else want to be consistent? You want to know the secret to consistency? Well, it goes back to thought process, right? Right? So if I'm not consistent, I must not know, I'm going to give you some practical stuff here. I don't know where I'm going. There's a book called 1 Minute Millionaire. Has anybody read 1 Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen? You guys know who Mark Victor Hansen is? 650 million books, him and Canfield. So next to the Bible, they're like best-selling authors of all time, and they're still alive. Anyway, but what that book talks about is it's a story of a lady who her husband dies. They got young kids. She's, I'm guessing, probably in her 30s. Her in-law can't stand her, and they are like the king business people. They own this, fictional, I think. They basically own this small town in Colorado. I mean, they own the cops, they own everybody. And so through wanting to get rid of her and keep the grandkids and have custody, the parents put all sorts of, they do all sorts of things to her to create this environment. And the deal that the lady makes with her ex-father-in-law, who she detests, is I'll create $1 million of cash flow in a day, or in a 90-day period, $1 million of cash. And if I do that, I get my kid back. If I don't, you get to keep my kids. So on the right side of the book, I think it's the right side of the book, is the how-tos. The left side is the story. So you want to read the story, you just look at the left sides of the pages. And when you start reading the story, you hardly want to look at the right side, but you can go back and do that. But it talks about all the business concepts that created, right, and what she did. And one of the things she did is she tracked down a mentor, somebody she wanted to work with, and she asked to work with that mentor, and the mentor shut her down 3 times. And that's what she does. That's what the mentor does with people. Right? Will you work with me? No. Right? Because if they don't come back a 4th time, they're not really serious, right? So she shut her down 3 times. Gal came back 4 times. They worked together, mastermind, some of the stuff that we already teach. But it's an amazing story. It's an amazing book. Really cool. I think it's Christmas Day. I read it like front to cover. I mean, it was unbelievable. But she was consistent. Why? She had 90 days. Right? So, what are you aiming for and why are you aiming for it? That's the most important thing, right? Goal setting I'll talk about here in a second, right? Middle class think goals, they think goal setting is logical. World class know that goal setting is emotional. That's the game changer. Right? That's the game changer. Okay? Consistency. But I'll talk about some of the how-to stuff too. Anything else? How to teach people how to feel less busy.
Do you feel like being busy is
pressure? Yep. Yeah, it's a joke in our office. It's we call it woo busy, right? Because you ask people, how are you? And they're like, oh, woo, busy, woo, busy, woo, busy. Yeah, and are you talking about like how do you recruit woo busy?
Anything.
I mean, it's a phenomenal question. Yeah, I mean, I think people are always looking for. And that's a phenomenal question, by the way. I don't think I've ever gotten that one, but it's a roadblock. So my secret in recruiting and building, I'm not the most like prolific recruiter, right? I get 6 to 7 directs a year. I've done that forever. I've gotten 2 this month, and I'm back on it because I got in connection with the thought that was stopping me from recruiting, right, and reversed that. My key has always been to build relationships with people over time and make contributions into their capital account, so to speak. Does that make sense? Right? Like I went to a networking event a couple weeks ago. This mortgage guy comes up and he's like giving me his pitch. And he sounded awesome. I mean, I'm like, this guy's scripted. He's phenomenal. His card looks good. He looks good. We have no relationship. It was like Charlie Brown's teacher talking to me, right? I went, wah, 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 wah. And so one of my favorite affirmations, I am back on saying, but I said it for many years, people don't care how much they know until you know how much people don't care how much you know until you know how much you care. That is the key to business. That's the key to building this thing. And so with woo busy people, right, I don't try to like put the zinger in there that like does I don't have any Jedi mind tricks, right? Does that make sense? Right? I used to think my 100K ring was a kind of a cool, like I could hypnotize him and all that, right? Now, I'm not saying you don't come at this, right? I'm reading books on hypnotic conversational speaking. I'm trying to get better, and it's not about hypnotizing people. It's about talking in a hypnotic way to keep people in the game. One of them stories. So I'm not saying don't try not to overcome that, but eventually I get to a point where I've put so much value into their life that I can pull the trigger on that conversation and call them out on their crap. Does that make sense? So for me, recruiting has always been about like that conversation I had in the conference room with that lady this week. I have built that relationship. I have added value to her life. I've connected her. I've referred her in. I've done all sorts of things. And finally, I'm just like, stop the freaking madness. Right? This gal is not what she's trying to do. And I'm not trying to rain on that parade either, right? I don't sit there, you know, don't shoot on people. Right? People don't like it. And so I know where she's going. Much like Sarah Walter. She had to go do this entrepreneurial thing for 18 months and fall flat on her face before I could ever have a conversation with her. She was not in the right space. Right? But I added that, you know, we had such a good mutual relationship there. Finally, I got to the point where I could pull the trigger on having a very serious, convicted conversation with her. Does that make sense? Right? And clients a little bit too. So it's tough to get people to shift and change. And that's the other thing you guys need to understand is it takes people a while to make shifts. Right? And you got to be okay with that. Right? If someone's been thinking a certain way for 50 years, they are not going to spin out of it in a couple of years, right? And you got to have some patience on that. So the woo busy person, right? The symptom is woo busy. What's the root? What do you think the root is of woo busy? Fear. Excuse. Right? Total lack of clarity in what they want out of their lives. That makes sense? Right? They don't know where they're going. So you can add value there with woo busy, but you've got to so the key with recruiting is you all got people in your lives that you have some relationship capital with. You haven't pulled the trigger on that. You need to go do it. Right? And the script is literally like I did with this gal. I'm like, listen, our relationship's important. Our relationship is more important than you and I being in business. But and some of you guys are new, and you might not feel like you can say this, but I'm like, we're killing it. We're doing amazing things. You're part of the team that's killing it and doing amazing things, right? Maybe you're not doing it yet. That's okay, right? Y'all do that. It's okay, right? And so sometimes, and if you've been here a while and you haven't done it, you tend to aim people at your business and you look at them through those eyes. You got to aim people at successful people. You got to aim people at the company. Does that make sense? So if you haven't done it, get them aimed at someone that is doing it. Or tell stories of other people that are doing it, right? But the conversation would be like, listen, I've only been here a couple months, right? Amazing things are happening. It's unbelievable. This is what this business is going to do for me. Here's my biggest fear. I get 10 years down the road. I've rocked it. I'm totally financially free and financially independent, right? And you're doing what you're doing. You're going to be mad at me because I didn't have this conversation with you. So can we sit down and have a conversation? No's okay. I'm okay with no. This is not about me. It's about you. Right? So can we have an intelligent business conversation about you need to look at this thing. Right? And so if we all did that in this room, our recruiting numbers would go through the roof. Right? But people are like, well, I'm going to go cold prospect. No, talk to people that already know, like, and trust you. Not that you don't go do that. You should do that. But that's not your game plan. Right? The people that are going to take you to the next level are in your list, or they know people that are there. Right? And then you go get referrals out of them and all that stuff. Right? So do you guys have people that you can go have that conversation with? And if you don't feel like you can have that conversation, grab somebody that can have that conversation. Does that make sense? And then sit them down and have a serious conversation about what? Having a better life. Right? Versus, here's how Hamlin manages their money. And I mean, I get all that stuff. Right? That stuff's important. Got to do it. But that's it. So that's my woo busy. Right? And then I bring them on, and hopefully we can work with them through that. All right. So we'll take two breaks. These are the four steps I'm going to cover are tied to the chapter in Think and Grow Rich on persistence. OK, Okay? If people are like, well, how do I have more consistency? Read that chapter every day for the next 30 days. It'll change your life. Right? Because he talks about it. Right? How to have persistence. The opposite of persistence is what? Well, it's quitting. Right? So anybody that's failed this business or hasn't gotten the results or any of that stuff, they usually fall down in one of these four areas, which is purpose, plan, right? Mind sealed, tied to negative outside influences, and a mastermind alliance. Okay, purpose, plan, mind sealed, mastermind alliance. Okay, and so Joe Vitale, who I'm a big fan of, has his own formula. It's very similar, but it's this whole, he calls it clarity. Okay, he calls it clarity and purpose and all that stuff. And so when I ask people, what do you want? They're like, well, I don't know. I don't know what I want. And you go, okay, I need to figure that out. Okay, when are you going to figure it out? I need to think it over. I need to think through it, all that stuff, right? So one of the things you can help people do very well is help them get really clear on what they want. How do you do that? They're probably making a pretty significant list of what they don't want, right? Which is what happens. If I focus on what I don't want, it's going to change it. It'll never change it, right? You got to get focused on what you want. How do you create consistency, right? How are you less busy? You get really clear on what you want, okay? So what does that mean? I always talk about financial freedom and financial independence because I collect reasons why that's important, okay? So when I set a goal, I am a reason collector, okay? And so one of the most difficult things you'll do in this business, in life, is to push through your comfort zones. We all got them, right? I went like this. My income stayed like this, okay? Took a crisis to shake me up, okay? I don't want to do that again, right? I want to be a little more intentional to go to this next level, and we've been kind of here, right? So here's the level I want to go to. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, chapter one in Think and Grow Rich is desire. All right, my favorite quote in there is, what a different story a man or woman would tell if they'd stand by desire long enough for it to become an all-consuming obsession. It's my favorite quote. What a different story a man or woman would tell if they'd stand by desire long enough for it to become an all-consuming obsession, right? And we mean positive obsessions, right? There's positive obsessions in life, right? Your family, okay? People, serving, those types of things. Usually not stuff, okay? Those aren't usually the things that move you. And so, how do you stand by desire long enough for it to become an all-consuming obsession? You got to feed yourself, right? And so to go to the next level, I have to collect reasons, right? Because we have it pretty awesome, okay? And to go to the next level, I have to come up with reasons. And a couple material things here and there, but by and large, the reasons have a lot to do with you guys, right? That's why I'm here today. This is part of my purpose, right? Which my purpose is to help people free themselves mentally and financially and learn to love, approve, and accept themselves. That's my purpose. And when I'm operating from that, I'm very powerful. When I'm not operating from that, I'm not, right? So whatever that purpose is, when you guys are operating from that purpose, you're unstoppable. You really are. And it doesn't take brains or talent or good luck. You just got to be operating from that purpose, right? So that's part of my purpose, right? What's yours? Okay? And can you integrate that in your business? But even if it's a goal of just going to the next level, financial freedom, financial independence, what does that look like? And then collecting reasons, right? So why do you want to become financially free and financially independent? Okay, and that's building a team and doing all that stuff. Once again, that's where I go, because I had a mentor a long time ago that said, you'll never realize how good you could be until money's behind you. Right? You'll never know how really good you can be until money's behind you. Does money occupy your thoughts? Right? Bob Proctor said there's only two reasons why you become financially independent. One is to be comfortable, right? So that you can clear your thinking. And number two is so you can extend your service. That's me right there. That's me in a nutshell. Right? Be comfortable so I can extend my service. And you're doing it at the same time, right? But you become comfortable so you can get more creative so then you can extend your service. Follow me? Very powerful. So I collected a lot of reasons because I was not financially free. Multiple six figures in debt. $30,000 a month of overhead. $15,000 coming in. Woohoo! That's awesome. Right? And who was I blaming? Everybody else. Right? So I got into acceptance about that. I was never going to change. And so when I made it a project versus a problem, that's when things started changing. That's when I said, I'm sick of being a victim to this. I'm sick of being a victim to money. I'm sick of being a victim, period. I am done with this. Very powerful when you say stuff like that. And I remember right where I was. I'm done with this. I was driving to Gunnison, Colorado to get up in front of a group and be inspiring. And I wasn't living an inspiring life. I think I fooled them that day. But I was 4 hours, no radio, and I was just driving after me and Marlo had really one of our last fights ever around money. And I just said, I'm flipping done with this. I am done. And I dropped it. And so I quit looking at what I didn't want. I started focusing on what I wanted. And when the thoughts would come up, I'd get focused on what I wanted. And it was going to the next level. Right? So I'll break it down, right? It was an income thing. It's always, right? If you're in business, there's two things you do in business. You serve people and you go to the bank. That's what you do. You serve people and go to the bank. Right? Some people in our business love serving people and not going to the bank. That's not good. Right? And some people are really caught up in going to the bank and not serving people. And that's not good either. Right? So you can actually serve people here and go to the bank. So I got into that. And I started going. I'm like, hey, we got to get our income to the next level. I'm like, Marla, how much money do you want to have saved? She's like, we need $100,000 in the bank. I'm like, we're at nothing. Right? But she said, I want $100,000 in the bank. And I interviewed her and said, well, how would that make you feel? So this is how it would make me feel. And I took those notes down. Reasons. That was a reason not to have another financial stress conversation with my wife ever again. Right, starting to look at her, the dream home that she wants, which is, you know, I just rent from her, you know. That's kind of, right? Right, but we're starting to have those cool conversations about stuff that 5 years ago looked pretty, we were trying to figure out how we're going to save our house. Right? And how we're going to stay in business? How are we going to even keep our doors open? Right? So I knew I was getting handed that challenge for a reason because I was meant to talk about it the rest of my life. Right? And so that became my project. And I had to clean up my thoughts. So that became a reason. Why do I want to do this business? I want to get that message out. Right? The world's a mess when it comes to financial independence. It's horrible how the conversations are. Right? So that was the reason. Right? You're always happier when you're going after something versus when you get it. And one of the delusional things we all need to get out of our thinking is, I'm going to get to a certain point and then relax. Right? Now, we relax along the way. We have a lot of fun. Just went to Hawaii, right? We'll go to Europe in September. Anything over 7 days is overdone. Okay? And so what I've learned is, it's not about getting to some point and then living. The other thing I had to do was get my life off the layaway plan. You guys know what I'm talking about? No. Get my life off the layaway plan. I will be happy when. And missing everything. Why is this important to business? This makes you magnetic. How can I be happy now? How can I be excited now? Right? So just collecting these reasons, right, over and over and over again. I got a new reason to go to the next level. I posted it on Facebook. My 12-year-old flew a Cessna 172, did about 95% of the job, and landed us in Marietta, Georgia, right, which was cool. It was on Facebook, and he's flipping awesome. What a great kid. And I said to Pop, I'm like, don't buffalo me. How much of that did you do? He's like, I did like 5%. I moved the nose like here and there a couple times with that. Your son did everything. I'm like, that's a reason, right? We need a plane together, okay? Is that cool? Right? We need a plane together. We need, right? So that's a reason. So this whole purpose thing, you got to start collecting reasons. How do you create consistency? How do you do that stuff? What are those reasons, right? And there's three different ways that you set goals and clarity. One is you work for a goal. Right? And a goal is out of pain and pleasure programming. Okay? I want this or I don't want that. That's good. Right? It's okay. But studies show when you're setting goals based on that, you'll hit it about 25% of the time. Right? When it's out of pain and pleasure programming. Okay? So saving more money, making more money, us digging out of our hole, just putting money in the bank and all that stuff, obviously did not do enough for me to move it forward because I'd known that. Right? Saving money is a good idea. Very logical. Okay? The second way to do it is you work for a person or you work for a purpose. You set a goal that's tied to a person or a purpose. guys follow me? So spouse, kids, significant others, you know, you. Right, a big motivator early on for me was just proving I could do it. That was huge for me. Right, when I didn't have a family early on when I started in this business. So when you set a goal and you work for a purpose or you work for a person, right, you have a 75% probability that you're actually going to hit what you're going after. Right, like that book, 1 Minute Millionaire. You got to make $1 million in 90 days. $1 million has never been that motivating to that gal, but it's I won't see my kids again. That's motivating. That's inspiring. Okay? So whatever that is, it's an income goal. Right? Because people are like, you always talk about income. Well, yeah, because that's an indication of value that I'm bringing. It's a scorecard for me. Right? It's a scorecard for me. Okay? And there's cool things you can do in there. It, bless you. It can buy me time back. Right? My kids live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm getting down there about, bless you, every month. Right? That takes money. Okay, does that make sense? So those are all tied back to people's purposes and all that stuff, right? And so whatever the goal is, right, what you got to do, this is your conscious mind, this is your subconscious mind, this is God, infinite intelligence, whatever you believe in, right? This is called an internal mastermind, okay? And so anything you've ever done in your life, you've had an internal mastermind. Positive. Anything that you've done that's positive, right? Is anybody parents? Got parents? Anybody think they're a good parent? Right, despite what your kids might tell you at times, right, you might think you're a good parent, right? And so, if you think you're a good parent, right, when I ask that question, if you're like, I'm a good parent, anybody have that just like automatically pop up, right? I'm a good parent, right? In the way you talk about your son, right? Girl, oh my God, I'm an idiot. Sorry. Anyway, you don't come around enough. Good to see you, bud. Anyway, but like 6 months old. 17 months. God. See, it's been 11 months since I saw you. Anyway, so, but when he talks about his little girl, right, I mean, there's a lot of energy there, right? So, consciously, he's like, I'm a good parent. Subconsciously, he says, I'm a good parent, right? And so, when you have conscious-subconscious agreement, you get success. You have success with your little girl who's 17 months old. Absolutely, right? So, that's conscious-subconscious agreement, right? Is there something that anybody, like, is there a sport that somebody's good at? We've got no athletes. That's why you're here on a Saturday afternoon, right? Right? You're not a good golfer. Anyway. Right? Now that's delusion, right? That's delusion. You don't want...
Wear your helmet.
He's selling golf helmets. Right? Scary. I thought he was from Egypt. He was in the sand, like, all day long. Right? But there's conscious, subconscious... agreement, right? So if you're a professional golfer and you have conscious agreement, you have subconscious agreement that you're a good golfer, guess what? You're going to be more consistent. You're going to do the things necessary to be good, okay? Whatever you're good at, you have conscious, subconscious agreement, okay? And so when I said we need to start saving money based on results, I didn't know that, okay? There's four stages of development. There's unconscious incompetence, right? Unconscious incompetence. So I was unconscious of my incompetence around holding on to money. Then my wife made me aware that I was incompetent. Right? And then I became conscious of my incompetence. You guys follow me? And then I had to go work on conscious competence. Okay? And this is the business. Right? You got to work on conscious competence. Right? So I had to work on that. So recruiting and selling and all our products and services and all the stuff that we do, you got to spend a lot of time in conscious competence. I still have to, right? If there's things I haven't done in a while, I got to go back and get my conscious competence, spending time on that, right? But then the cool part is you become unconsciously competent, and that's when you're rocking, right? That's when it's happening, right? Just think about how, right? You're 15 years of age, you get your driver's permit, right? At that point. Before, you were unconsciously incompetent about how to drive a car. You didn't care when you were 12, right? But at that point, you become unconsciously incompetent. Then you become conscious of your incompetence as you go out, right? Especially back in the stick shift days, right? Which is how I learned, right? And then you spend time at it, and it's conscious competence. Then it becomes unconsciously competent. You probably don't even remember driving here. right? Because it just happened. You didn't need to think about how to get here, right? So that's the business. People are like, well, how do I get good at the business? I'm like, become conscious of certain incompetence you have and then get unconscious competence, right? Do whatever it takes to rock it. Chris, what do I do? Just do it. What did you do? I'm like, I just did it. What do you continue to do? Do it. Do what? Just do it. What? Study it. Work it. Love it. Right? Like, love the means. Don't get just in love with the ends, right? Just love the means. And then it's unconscious competence, right? And so for me, I had to get my subconscious on my side. How do you do that? Right? And I used saving money because that was my biggest bugaboo. Right? And it didn't matter how big the team got, how much the economy changed, it was never going to change because life is inside out. Everything's inside out. You got to change the internal. One of my favorite quotes is, the world's a mirror and just gives me feedback for what I'm putting out. The world's my mirror and gives me feedback for what I'm putting out, right? And so guess what I was putting out? Poop cover boomerangs, right? So I had to change that, and I had to get my subconscious on my side. And so your conscious mind can handle about 5 to 10%, right, of information. Your subconscious can handle 90 to 95%, right? Think and Grow Rich is all about getting your conscious and your subconscious to agree. That's what the whole book's about. Every personal development seminar on the planet, everything is about that very thing. Conscious, subconscious agreement. And so based on results, money wasn't flowing, so I had to plant the desire into my subconscious mind. How do I do it? I still do it this day. 5 to 10 minutes of visualization every single day. You got to do it. Right? You got to do it. And most people run out of the house with the hair on fire, no intention, putting out fires. You got to carve out, and for me it gets longer and longer as I get more into this, but it is no less than 30 minutes every single morning programming how I think. Right? And you add that up over a lifetime, amazing things can happen, right? You got to small step this stuff down. You got to spend at least 10 minutes a day. Right? What's consistency about? It's small steps, and I'll get into this when we come back. Small steps done consistently every single day. The compound effect is one of the most amazing concepts on the planet. The guy that dies of a heart attack who's 400 pounds overweight was not caused by the hamburger he ate that day. You follow me? It was a compound effect over a period of time of choices. Okay? So when I gave myself a break and I quit beating myself up over the situation that we were in, that was the key, quit beating myself up for why we were there, forgive myself, which is a huge concept, right? Talking to a guy yesterday, he's still beating himself up over something that happened 25 years ago. I'm like, dude, you got to forgive yourself, bro. Get out. Get over it. Forgive yourself. So I had to forgive myself, seek and beg forgiveness from my wife, right? And I had to spend time reading on this topic because I want to have more people in my business. Well, you got to spend time reading up on it, getting good at it. Chris, I want to have more money flowing in my life. You got to spend time on conscious competence. You spend 10 minutes of visualization. So my visual was the first $10,000 being saved from zero. It's a huge thing for me. You guys heard me tell the story. The visual was Marlo coming down the stairs in her ski outfit on a Thursday morning, very early, and her going skiing. And what that meant to me was she felt safe enough that she didn't have to go to work. She could take a day off and go ski. And when I would do that visual, I'd literally just come up with, like, tears of relief. So powerful. So powerful. And that's the other thing you do. You got to identify the feeling you're going after. Because everything you do in life, you're hoping to get a feeling. Right? Everything you do in life, you're hoping to get a feeling. And for most people who struggle financially, and the reason I spend a lot of time on the money stuff, this is what impacts business owners more than anything. Is their money head trash? There's a great book that you need to read, period, called Tapping into Wealth. The best books I've ever read. Talks about emotional freedom techniques and all that stuff. I don't care if you even do that stuff, even though I do. It's the best book I've ever read on raising your income thermostat, raising your money thermostat, Tapping into Wealth. Margaret Lynch wrote the book. It's unbelievable. But that visual was powerful. Right? And so what happened is, I stood by my desire long enough for it to become an all-consuming obsession. So guess what happened? I read a book called Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, written by a guy named T. Harv Eker, and he wrote a quote in there that changed my life as well. He said, until you start managing the money you have now well, you will not see anymore. So, well, that explains it. So I had to plant the desire of putting money away. And then all of a sudden, I stood by that obsession long enough, it started taking over. You guys understand? Have you ever heard of a term called hypnotic rhythm? Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Outwitting the Devil. Has anybody read that? You could read that book in like a day. It is so good. So don't let the title fool you. It's phenomenally written. It's an unbelievable book. But he called it Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. I'm actually going to reread it because I keep talking about it. But what he talks about is this concept called hypnotic rhythm. And what it is you have a concept that, right, so my dad said rich people are crooks. And then my subconscious bought that, okay? And then you buy it, and then what happens is nature takes over that and hardens the thought. Does that make sense? Nature takes over. So when you're trying to change success, you're trying to, right, this is all about programming your subconscious for success. Follow me? When you start having a new thought of, this is how I see myself, you got to keep at it every single day. Right? So when you visualize, when you think about it, some of the other things I'll talk about, what happens is, over a period of time, now it took me a number of years to really get that, not that it took me a number of years to get results, I started seeing some results, but it took me a number of years to reprogram myself on this. And I made that okay. I didn't make that a problem, I made it a project. Does that make sense? I was going to have faith that it was going to turn out okay. And I was going to do whatever it took as long as it took to get the job done. Does that make sense? That's why I still study it. Okay? So what happened is, that thought, that conscious subconscious agreement changed in me. You follow me? And now nature's taken over that on my benefit. Follow me? So now it's aiding me in that arena. So if you have a negative thought you want to shift, just keep at it. Just keep at it. And then you'll get to the point where, guess what? Nature takes over. And now you're cooking with gas. Right? Does that make sense? You're cooking with gas. But you got to stay at it. Right? It's like erosion. Stay at it. Chris, what's your business philosophy? I'm kind of like erosion. Right? I just am. It will, right? Like what she said with the person. I got someone I want to recruit. I am relentless because I'm clear on the benefits and what it's going to bring to their life. I am relentless on them. Not annoying. Okay? Persistent, professionally persistent I am. We'll talk about how to do follow-up and all that stuff, right? But they're okay with it because they're clear on where I'm coming from. Does that make sense? Right, here comes Chris. No, oh, here comes Chris telling me, you know, lotions and potions. No, it's here comes Chris, back at it again. Right? And then I'm bringing value to the relationship, even if they don't say yes.